Mr. McCormick on 2192.
Okay, this is it.
Put him on, please.
Let's see that.
Hello.
Larry. Hello.
Hello, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
After our last talk, I talked with Halleck, and then Ed Dixon and Mansfield was here, and Halleck just simply refused to cooperate in any way. He just issued a Mount Tantamount. Well, it was an ultimatum. And that we'd adjourn sine die without any action being taken. And that's the way it is now. As far as I'm concerned, we're going to adjourn over to Monday, try and get eight members of the... Because I'll be damned if I'm going to let Halleck be Speaker.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And so I'm going to go in and adjourn over to Monday. We're going to try and get it. We'll get Bernard Sis back from...
California.
California. California. Jim Trimble will be available. And Judge Smith will cooperate. We'll get a rule, and we may then have to, we'll try and bring it up Monday under two-thirds, they'll lick us, then we'll bring it up Tuesday under the regular rules. And there's going to be every effort made to have members here both Monday and Tuesday.
Well, I would make every effort. I'd call them myself, every member, and say you're
and
prestigious.
From your angle about, you know, I know you will, Larry and them, they're great workers. They're always pleasure to work with them. They'll do everything they can.
Well, now, how do you explain Halleck backing out? I thought
he said there was too long a period took place. In other words, between 12 and a little after 3, when you and I had 2 or 3 talks and others, and you had to look into things. In other words, he says that 3 and a quarter hours was too long a period. So that's the story. In other words, the very proposition he put, I told him would be all right, then he said, took too long, and that's the story, and he just remained adamant and stubborn and walked out. We talked for about an hour here, and he took an hour time up there when we could end up getting a rule and everything. And he's not going to cooperate.
Well, does that mean his men won't go to the Rules Committee?
No, they won't.
Well, why don't you call a meeting and let them boycott it so you can say that that's
Judge
what happened.
Smith has been upstairs waiting for 4 hours, 5 hours. And 2 Republican members of the Rules Committee in town, they wouldn't go there.
Well, you ought to say that. Put it out and let the country know it.
Yes.
That they've gone on a sit-down strike. The Republican members gone on a sit-down strike over foreign policy because these isolationists from the Midwest are trying to take over the party. That's what it amounts to.
Well, wait a minute. His call, and I'll come back. Wait a minute. Yes, sir.
I just tell them that the Republican isolationists from the Midwest have gone on a sit-down strike. They're trying to take over the party, and I guess they're worried about Nixon or somebody. And you don't know why they won't meet. They're here in town. They got business to transact. That you just have to call the people in because Republicans won't have a single member attend the committee.
Right.
And I'd point out how much time I had off of vacation at Thanksgiving, how many days you'd had off this year.
He'll do it.
And I'd really put it on the Midwestern isolationists. I don't think anything on foreign policy, that here's a matter that affects the foreign policy of this country.
We've told them.
The foreign policy of this country, and it ought to be bipartisan, and they want to play cheap politics even before the mourning period's over.
Well, I don't think I should say that.
Well, that's true.
I know it's true, but I mean that part wouldn't. But I agree with the rest of what you say.
I'll just put it out to all the reporters you can. We'll do the same thing.
All right.
Okay.
Here, you want to see the speaker again?
If he wants to, I've got to.
Yes, Mr. President.
I just see that every one of them, if that's the way you feel about it, I just see that every member was told that you expect him to be there come hell or high water. Monday morning, and I'd just tell Sisk that they're running off. Israeli screwed us up.
Yep.
And get back here, and then I'd tell the press that it looks like the old isolationist rearing his head. They quit bipartisanship on foreign policy. And the gut fighter says that they won't even let a rules committee members meet, they're on a sit-down strike.
Well?
We've had enough vacations this year.
How would you feel, Mr. President, if an adjournment sine die went through without you being concerned? How would I feel? My God, I'd say, what kind of men have we got up there? And listen, I would do this to a president who was of the opposite party, neither with you or you were leader.
Of course not, of course not. I wouldn't do it to anybody.
Why, of course
not. It's not doing it to your country, and he's something wrong with the fellow. He must be...
Why, hell, if we did that, why, you'd be justified in calling us back into session the day after Christmas.
Yes, sir.
You might feel a little compassion before Christmas. And, why, the arrogance of it.
Huh.
Why, the most arrogant attitude that I've ever seen. Bordering on to disrespectful.
He must be scared that he's lost. He must be afraid he's whipped. Well, what you better do is whip him in the papers now, and you better call in your reporters and just tell them that the old ugly head of isolationism in the Midwest is raising its head, and the Republican Party is split, and they're divided, and they don't know whether they want the Eastern Wing to handle it or the Middle Western Wing, and they won't even consider foreign policy. And on a nonpartisan basis, they want to play politics with it even before the mourning period's over. I just let the newspapers have it, and we'll give them a little touch-up down here.
Well, I want you to know what the situation is. I'm going to ring the bells now.
Okay, you let them know.
All right, Mr.
And I'd be sure that I had enough men manning these phones talking to our people. Now, the truth of business is, John, we slipped up a little last night. I went to sleep. I ought to have been up at 4 o'clock if I had. We'd have changed some of those boys' Texas delegation. When I worked on them an hour a day, we changed them, but I didn't know that it was up close. I didn't know we had those votes, and I just put them on that phone now and tell them to take the 100 men that are out, or 110, and come in and say that put your best man talking to them and be sure that they're here. And if they need priorities on airplanes or anything, just see that the airlines give them to them.
All right.
Okay.
And then Jerry Ford took the floor and on a rumor said that he understood that the Defense Department on the orders of the administration were bringing Democrats back.
I would just say that you ought to say that's beneath Jerry Ford. That you're surprised. You're shocked.
I called up Secretary McIntyre. And then after that, Bill McCulloch, who's a very honorable fellow, took the floor and said that I came back in an airplane. He said I couldn't get commercial. And he said, I went down and they happened to have an extra seat and they brought me back. And he said, I took advantage of it. I talked with McNamara, and he looked into it and called me back and said, our records show the only man who was transported was Mr. McCulloch, Congressman McCulloch of Ohio.
Well,
pardon me, Mr. President, Congressman Ryan, he said, who's a reserve officer and is entitled to. He was an extra seat. Asked that we refused to decline him. Mike Mansfield called about getting Senator Jordan back, and we declined that. And the only one about the rumor was one Republican who was big enough and manly enough, and I admired him, to take the floor and said, I came back.
Well, you ought to just say to Jerry Ford that we're really disappointed that you try to scare people with a speech like
that's
that.
That's a form of the old McCarthyism.
That's right. That's a McCarthy deal. And just, you ought to smear him a little bit. He's been getting along pretty good around here, but he's getting as mean as the rest of them.
Well, there's a lot to that, I think.
And Mr. Rubin, you know, used to say, John, that the difference between the Democrat and the Republican was that the Republicans all hate our president.
Well, you heard me say that last year to the late president.
That's right.
On more than one occasion, didn't
you? That's right. Well, let's get our men in. That's what we're doing. If you want anybody to work here, we'll do it.
Well, no, we want everybody to work.
All right. Well, let's just tell them.
The president said it fails here, Carl, to get on the wire, get them back here for Monday, and get them right back. It's the test of who's running the house, whether Charlie Halleck is speaker or not, the president. Put it right up. All right, Mr.
Okay,
President.
Bye.
Thank you.